Good morning. I hope everyone is doing well today. Last week, we began a new series called By the Spirit, in which we are spending 4 weeks looking at the work of the Holy Spirit. And last week, we began this conversation by looking at a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples about the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked about this promise where he says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He dwells with you and will be in you." And when Jesus said these words to the disciples, he was preparing them for the coming of the Holy Spirit. But the coming of the Holy Spirit meant that Jesus was going to be leaving them. And these disciples were very concerned at the idea that Jesus might be leaving them. But Jesus himself told them this about the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Jesus said, if you think that having me around is a good thing, then you just wait. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, it'll be to your advantage. Another translation says, it will be better for you if I leave and the Holy Spirit comes. Now, who would ever think that Jesus leaving would be better? But Jesus himself says that it would be to their advantage for him to leave and the Holy Spirit to come. And the advantages of the Holy Spirit started to become clear just 3 days after Jesus was crucified and betrayed and arrested, because 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So think about that. The Spirit of the God who can raise Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit dwells in you and me. Last week, we saw that in the book of Ephesians, it says that in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Jesus, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. When we believe in the gospel that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, the moment that we place our faith in Jesus, not only are we forgiven, but the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit takes up residence in each one of us forever. Do you see that? Isn't that wild? Now, this kind of is kind of where we left off last week, that the Spirit of the God who raised Jesus from the dead, that powerful Spirit dwells in us, and that reality should change the way that we view our life and should change the way that we view everything that's happening in our life, because this verse goes on to say that he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So the same Spirit of the God that raised Jesus from the dead is doing stuff in you and in your life, to which we might immediately wonder, well, what kind of stuff? What is the Holy Spirit doing in me? And those are important questions, and we're going to get to those questions. But for today, we kind of need to understand a little more about who the Holy Spirit is. So that's what I want to do for a little bit this morning. I want to look at what the Bible says about who the Holy Spirit is before we look at what the Holy Spirit does. And I want to organize this with just 2 points. So let's get started with the first one. There is no denying that the Holy Spirit does some powerful things. We just saw verses where when talking about the Holy Spirit, it talks about the power to raise Jesus from the dead. And if you remember, at Christmas time, when we talk about the birth of Jesus, the Virgin Mary was visited by an angel, and she was told that she was going to have a baby, and Mary said, "That's impossible. I know you're an angel, but I don't know if they explained to you how babies work, but I can't have a baby." And then the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." So it's pretty clear from the Bible that things that we think are impossible, the Holy Spirit has the power to do even those things. And if the Bible says that powerful Holy Spirit is living in me, then does that mean that I have that same kind of power in me? Well, here's the thing that you and I need to know about power. When it comes to people, power can go straight to our heads. Do you know anybody like that? Who, when they get just a little bit of power, it can go straight to their head. They start to think that they call all the shots, that they're the center of the universe. Well, imagine what those kinds of people would do with this kind of power. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, the apostles go into the city where they're preaching about Jesus, and it says that they were doing miraculous works by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then there's this guy named Simon, who is so amazed by what he's seeing them do that he comes up to the disciples and he asks them if he could pay money to have the power of the Holy Spirit. It says, Simon offered them money saying, "Give me this power also." Now you can see that this guy, Simon, he thinks about and views the Holy Spirit as a power that he wants to use. He sees what's being done by the power of the Holy Spirit and he thinks, hey, if I could just get it, then I too will have that power. And a lot of times, that's how people think about the Holy Spirit. Like it's a power or a force, or like it's the force, like in Star Wars, where the Holy Spirit is simply a power that we need to tap into, or that we need to harness, or that we need to control in some way. But when we read through the Bible doesn't talk about the Holy Spirit like a power to be used. Instead, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit like a person to be known. Have you ever noticed that the Bible doesn't refer to the Holy Spirit like an it? Instead, whenever we hear the Holy Spirit being talked about in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is referred to as a he. Take a look. It says that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Isn't that interesting? Now, this isn't the only place all throughout the Bible the Holy Spirit is referred to as a he and not an it. And this means something, not because it's a masculine pronoun, but because it's a personal pronoun. Because there's a big difference between a he and an it. I mean, have you ever been stuck on the phone talking to one of those automated operators? After the third time, they say, "I'm sorry, I couldn't understand your response. Please try again." I start yelling at the phone, "Let me speak to a representative," because I want to talk to a he and not an it. And the difference between a he and an it is most evident in my life when I need help. Because in my life, when things get out of control and I need help, in those moments, I look for someone, not something. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's someone you trust, maybe it's your parents, but in our times of need, don't we usually look for someone rather than something to help us? Because there's something that a he or a she can offer us that we know we can't get from an it. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a he and not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person, is not a power to be used, but a person to be known. And that's the first point. And take a look at some of the things that the Holy Spirit is doing, because all the same kind of things that the Holy Spirit described in the Bible are doing, they're personal things that we tend to do with the other people in our lives. Things like this, that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit strengthens and encourages people. The Holy Spirit is described as a comforter. The Holy Spirit is called as a teacher. It teaches us. It reminds us of things as well. And these are the types of things that we do with other people, aren't we? We teach, we comfort, we encourage, we remind each other. That's what happens in a relationship with a person, not with an it. So the Holy Spirit is not a power to be used, but a person to be known and related to. And the way that the Bible describes how the Holy Spirit relates to us goes deep. Romans says that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. It even goes far to say as we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. That word intercedes means prayer. So think about that for a second. The Spirit of the God who raised Jesus from the dead is praying for you. Now, we pray for each other. When we are in our time of weakness, when we are in our time of need, we pray for one another, or at least we tell each other that we are, you know, thoughts and prayers. But the thoughts and the prayers of the Holy Spirit are on a totally different level. This verse tells us that when we are in the middle of our weakness, it says, and we do not even know what we ought to pray for. Have you ever been there before, where you're in such pain and you're in such struggle that you don't even know what to pray for? You don't even have the words to describe what you're feeling and what you're going through. Well, in that moment, it says that the Holy Spirit in you knows exactly what you're going through, knows exactly what you're feeling, and knows exactly what you need, and knows exactly how to pray for you. And if it's not encouraging enough to know that the Holy Spirit is praying for us because the Holy Spirit is in us and the Holy Spirit knows us, then know this, the Holy Spirit also knows God because the Holy Spirit is God. Take a look at this verse in 1 Corinthians. It says, "For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God." So the Holy Spirit can search the depths of God. And why is that possible? Well, it says, "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him?" To put it another way, nobody knows the thoughts of you unless they actually are you. In the same way, so also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So the reason that the Holy Spirit can search the depths of God is because the Holy Spirit actually is God. So the Holy Spirit is not just a power to be tapped into. The Holy Spirit is not the force like in Star Wars. The Holy Spirit is not Jesus's little helper. The Holy Spirit is God. That's the second point that I wanted us to see about the Holy Spirit. And this point is seen even more clearly throughout the Bible. There's this passage in the book of Acts. And in the passage, notice how Peter talks to this guy, Ananias. Peter says, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" And then he goes on to say, "You have not lied to man, but to God." Do you see how the Holy Spirit and God are used interchangeably here? It's because the Holy Spirit is completely God. And when we read through other parts of the Bible, what we see is that the Holy Spirit is described with the same attributes that are only described of God himself. For instance, Psalm 39 says this, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there." So this verse is saying that the Holy Spirit is everywhere, and only God can be everywhere. The fancy Trivial Pursuit word for this that we have in theology is this: omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is everywhere because the Holy Spirit is God. Another characteristic that only God can have that is also attributed to the Holy Spirit is being eternal. Hebrews says, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit," the fact that the Holy Spirit is eternal means that the Holy Spirit has no beginning and has no end. So when Jesus comes on the scene the night in the upper room and tells his disciples that the Holy Spirit is coming, it's not as if this will be the first appearance of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit has always existed because the Holy Spirit is God and God has always existed. If you look at the very first verse of the Bible, it says this: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then in the second verse of the Bible, we find the Holy Spirit. "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over all the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." So the Holy Spirit is present and active at creation because the Holy Spirit is God. So when Jesus tells us that the Spirit will be with you forever, he means forever, ever, because the Holy Spirit is God, eternal. And Jesus says, not only will the Holy Spirit be with us, but he also says that the Holy Spirit will be in us. And if the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, then that means that God dwells in us. Do you see that? And if you and I have already learned from our own lives that we turn to someone rather than something in our times of need, how much greater is it to know that we have the Helper, the Holy Spirit, God himself, living inside of us? So now we can ask the question, what is the Holy Spirit doing in us? And I want to end our study today by looking at just one aspect of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. And then for the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at several more things that the Holy Spirit is doing. But the work of the Holy Spirit that I want us to look at right now begins like this. In the book of 2 Timothy, we read this verse about the Bible. It says this: all scripture is breathed out by God. And this is a really weird way to say this, because you could just say all scripture is God's word, but it seems that this verse is going out of the way, being very intentional to use this really weird breathed out word. Maybe it's because this Greek word, breathed out, is the same root word, spirit. The book of 2 Peter further explains this when it talks about scripture like this. 2 Peter says, no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So this verse is explaining that when it says all scripture was breathed out by God, it means that the Holy Spirit was responsible for the writing of all scripture. Notice how it says that the writers of scriptures, they didn't speak as if their own words, but they spoke from God as they were carried along by the Spirit. You see that? They're carried along by the Spirit. It reminds me of a title of a sermon series. Now, the reason that this is important to us is because in Corinthians, we come across this question that is raised that might be raised by people like us from time to time in our life. And then the question in Corinthians is this. It says, who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Have you ever read a passage of the Bible, a part of scripture, and wondered, what in the world does this mean? How can I understand this? How am I supposed to apply this to my life if I don't even know what it means? I need an instructor. Have you ever thought about that when it comes to the Bible? Well, Paul answers this question. He says, who can understand the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? He says, we can. And he explains why we can. Remember that verse that we looked at earlier, 2 Corinthians, it says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Because the Holy Spirit is God, he can understand the thoughts of God, the things of God, the depths of God. And this same Spirit that understands the deep things of God also dwells in us. And Corinthians goes on to say that we have received the Spirit who is from God so that we may understand what God has freely given to us. This means that that the same powerful Spirit of God, the Spirit of the God who raised Jesus from the dead, is the same Spirit that inspired all of the writing of Scripture. And this same exact Spirit is dwelling in each one of us. And what he's doing there, one of the things that he's doing, is helping us understand and apply God's very words to our lives. Do you see that? But even if you didn't know all of this, even if you didn't know that already, you might have already experienced in some way. Because I tell you this all the time, that people come up to me after a sermon and they say things like, man, little pastor, you were speaking directly to me today. And sometimes when people say this to me, they say it suspiciously, like, were you speaking to me today? As if they're wondering if I know something about them. Like, their spouse emailed me this week and I changed my sermon directly to speak to you. Well, let me assure you, that doesn't happen. I do not know all the things that are happening in your life. I do not know everything that you're up against right now, but God does. Yeah, the Holy Spirit living inside of you does. And sometimes the reason that it feels like I might be talking directly to you is because the Holy Spirit, who knows everything about you, sometimes he'll grab you by the ear and say, hey, you know that thing that you've been going through lately? That stuff that you've been struggled with and anxious about and worried with. Did you hear what he just said? Did you hear the Bible passage that was just read? Don't you think that applies to your situation? Do you ever feel like that sometimes at church or when you're reading the Bible? Well, there's a passage in Hebrews that explains what's going on when something like this happens. Hebrews chapter 4 says this, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." Notice the phrase, "The word of God is living and active." Sometimes people wonder, how can a book that was written thousands of years ago have any relevance to my life today? Well, this verse says that the reason that the Bible, the scriptures, the words of God, the reason that they're living and active even today is because the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, and He is actively helping you to understand and apply God's words to what's actually happening to your life right now in real time. Notice the phrase, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Remember, we've already learned that the Holy Spirit knows us. He knows us so deeply and knows what's going on in our lives and what's going on in our hearts and what's going on in our emotions so well that the Holy Spirit can pray for us when we can't even pray for ourselves. He knows us that well. Well, that's why sometimes when the Holy Spirit, when we're at church and God's word is opened up and there is a truth in it that directly intersects with what we might be struggling with or feeling or going through in that moment, it might feel like we're being pierced by the words of God, by the speaker in that sermon. And what's actually happening is that the Holy Spirit living inside of us is actually and actively applying the truth of God's word to the reality of our life in that moment. So you can see one of the things that the Holy Spirit is doing in you and in me right now is helping us to understand and apply God's words in the Bible to our everyday lives right now. But all of this work, it all presumes one thing, that you are in and around God's words in some way. If the Holy Spirit uses God's words to instruct us and to encourage us and to change us and to comfort us, but we are never exposing ourselves to God's word, how is the Holy Spirit going to do that? To this, I heard a person argue once. He's saying, but doesn't the Bible say that the Holy Spirit will bring to mind the words in that moment? And yes, the Bible does actually say that, but that verse doesn't actually mean what you want it to mean. That verse is in the book of Luke, and Jesus says this, "Do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." What Jesus is actually talking about here is that there are going to be times of persecution, and in those times, the Holy Spirit will help you know exactly what you ought to say and how you ought to act in that moment. But this verse doesn't say anything about, don't worry about reading your Bible, because the Holy Spirit will bring it to your mind whenever you need it. It's not at all what this verse says. But hey, that's how I used to pray when I was in college. God, I'm about to take this test. Please miraculously put the answers into my brain, even though rather than studying last night, I played video games instead. Now, don't get me wrong. God can do miraculous things, right? But Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything that God has said. It's hard to be reminded of something that you've never heard in the first place, right? So what about us? What does our interaction with God's words look like? Are we in the Bible every day? Or do we wait for somebody else to open it up for us? Are we giving the Holy Spirit much to work with when it comes to using God's words in our lives? Are we regularly exposing ourselves to God's words? Because in the Psalms, we read this, "Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." Could that be said of us? That we delight in God's words and we meditate on them day and night? I recently downloaded this app on my phone. It's called Dwell. Here it is. Now, I'll warn you in advance, it's not a free app. You have to actually like pay for the subscription. But this app is a scripture reading app. But it reads things, it reads the Bible in different translations. It reads the Bible in different voices, from different accents, from different perspective. It plays music behind it and all this thing. But what the app really does is that it allows you to saturate yourself hearing God's words so that you think about it in ways that you weren't used to hearing it. And the reason that I downloaded this app is because I started to realize how much time I spent listening to other stuff. Stuff for no reason, just to have noise on in the house or just so it's not silent all the time. And it dawned on me because of verses like this one in the Psalms that I should be more intentional about having the words of God saturate my life. So this app, it doesn't replace actually reading the Bible. You still make time for doing it. But now when I'm driving in my car, when I'm going for a run, when I'm cleaning around the house, when I'm getting ready for bed, all those moments where I might listen to something else just because, now in those moments, they can be tools used by the Holy Spirit to etch God's words deep into my heart. And then one day, bring them to mind when I'm anxious or scared or overwhelmed. Because that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. He helps us to understand and apply God's word to our everyday life. He reminds us of everything that God has told us. Now, next week, we're going to look at some more of the work that the Holy Spirit is involved in our lives. But to recap for what we saw this week, the Holy Spirit is not a power to be used, but a person to be known. And the Holy Spirit is not just any person. The Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit dwells in us so that the people of God can be changed by the Word of God through the Spirit of God. Did you see that this morning? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who has given us your Spirit. God, we pray that you would use your Spirit in accordance with your Word to change us. God, we recognize that your Holy Spirit, though mysterious to us, is not simply a power, but it's a person. And God, I pray that we would relate to the Holy Spirit and we would understand how the Holy Spirit wants to relate to us. But God, I pray that this week, in light of what we've seen today, that you would help us open up your Bible, fill our minds and our hearts with your word, knowing that the Holy Spirit who inspired them will also help us to understand them, will also bring them to our memory, will also use them in our times of anxiety and fear and doubt, that they would that the Holy Spirit would bring to our mind the truth of your word, that we would be secure and that we would be guarded and that we would be protected and that we would stand firm in our faith by the Holy Spirit. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.